From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The national rate of new HIV infection fell in 2015, but it soared in South Florida. Miami has the highest number of new cases per capita in the country, and the rate of new cases in Fort Myers and Cape Coral ranks among the highest in the country. Most of it is spread through sex by people who don't even know they have the virus. Coming up, doctors break down the numbers and tell us what's being done in South Florida to curb the spread. Plus, it's no secret Florida's roads see a lot of deadly accidents, but 2016 is proving to be deadlier than ever on the streets of several Southwest Florida counties. And Florida leads the nation with some of the deadliest roads for motorcyclists. Ahead, we talk with a safety officer of a Fort Myers motorcycle club, and we hear from the Florida Highway Patrol about what makes Florida's roads especially dangerous. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. New data on HIV/AIDS cases from the Center for Disease Control paint an alarming picture of the disease spreading in South Florida. Miami saw triple the national rate of new HIV diagnoses. Smaller cities in Southwest Florida also show some of the highest numbers of cases per capita in the nation. Ahead on the show, we'll talk with doctors on both of Florida's coasts about what's causing the increase and what's being done to try to stop it. But first, motorcycles. For the past several years, Florida has led the nation in motorcycle-related deaths, usually ranking in the top three with California and Texas. The most recent year for which complete data is available is 2014. That year, 456 motorcycle riders were killed in Florida. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, the following year saw almost 100 more bikers killed, and that's not including their passengers. Here to talk with us about the staggering number of people killed on Florida roadways is Lieutenant Gregory Bueno with the Florida Highway Patrol. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Also here in the studio, we have Mike Spirithawk, a safety officer with the Harley Owners Group Riding Academy. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
We are talking about motorcycles on Florida roads. What makes it so much more dangerous here than in other states? Are you a rider who'd like to chime in? Give us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Message us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. Or on Twitter, at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. Lieutenant Bueno, in looking at the statistics, one of the things that stood out to me is the fall off between the top three states, Florida, California, and Texas, and then the next tier of states. The number of motorcyclists killed in these top three states were like around 500 people a year. In the rest of the states, they barely break 200, only a few of them getting over 150. And that's a lot of other states that don't have as many motorcycle deaths. Is there any reason that you think that maybe Florida, Texas, and California are ranking so high?
Well, in the state of Florida, there are over 17 million licensed drivers, and plus an influx of seasonal residents and visitors. So you put all that into a tropical climate. We put a lot of motorcycles on the road here in the state of Florida. Now, that doesn't speak to if you have an operator's license, you must have accountability and responsibility for your actions behind the wheel. And that goes both for motorists and for motorcyclists as well, because distractions, impairment, speed, all of these things factor into traffic crashes. And we need everybody to stay focused on the roads so that we can bring those numbers down.
It's definitely a huge number. Mike Spirithawk, are you surprised to hear how many people are killed on the road?
No, because our group that rides, we have especially the last 2 years, we've lost a lot of friends, and there's been it seems like a lot of more accidents, hit and runs, people not paying attention on the road, distractions especially.
Well, you hear these numbers. It's important to remember these are people, and these are your friends, and these are members of your group. Yeah. What do you think is the biggest threat to drivers of motorcycles out on the road?
Distracted motorists. They're making turns in front of motorcycles. They're not checking twice or something when they come to a stop, if half the time they come to a stop before they make a right-hand turn on red, and changing lanes and texting and telephones are the big things. I mean, we've had a lot of people running bikes off the road because of the distraction that they think they can do two things at once and they're not. I mean, it's like that's a weapon that's in their hand when they're driving, whether they're driving a motorcycle, riding a motorcycle, or driving a car. And they need to realize this and give 100%. I mean, it's a job when you get in there to drive safely.
Well, Florida does not have a requirement to wear a helmet when you're on a motorcycle. But according to the National Highway Transportation Administration, helmets are estimated to be 37% effective in preventing fatal injuries to motorcycle riders and 41% for motorcycle passengers. In other words, for every 100 motorcycle riders that are killed in crashes while not wearing helmets, 37 of them could have been saved had all 100 worn helmets. Lieutenant Gregory Bueno, tell me about a little bit about the history of Florida's helmet law.
Well, first of all, Florida Highway Patrol, we strongly encourage anyone riding a motorcycle to wear a helmet. Your head is a precious commodity, and we urge you to protect it. Florida helmet law is a person over the age of 21 may opt out from wearing a helmet if they have an insurance policy of $10,000 to cover for the medical benefits. Again, that's a personal choice, and it is legislation. Florida Highway Patrol is an enforcement agency. We support the legislation. However, we encourage anyone who's going to operate a motorcycle to wear a helmet because we've seen the tragedies that occur from not.
And, Mike, you're with the safety group, with the Harley Owners Group. Do you encourage people to use helmets? Do you use a helmet?
I tend to sometimes not use a helmet, but when I'm on the highway or on trips and stuff, I usually do most of the time. When I'm riding a lot of times in town, I don't. And I know that's a mistake because I tell everybody, and that's what I train people to wear their boots, safety equipment, and helmets.
And leather, that's supposed to be helpful to avoid road rash.
Yes. One of our friends just got sideswiped this was last week, and he had his leathers on because it was cold that day, and he came out without any rash. He slid with the bike, and he had his helmet on, and he was okay, luckily. But
is it kind of tough in Florida to get people to wear all that safety stuff when it's, you know, August and 92 degrees and 100,000% humidity? I mean, is it uncomfortable?
Yeah, it gets hot, but especially if you're in town riding. And that's why we see a lot of these people in flip-flops and shorts and stuff, which is very unsafe. And but you can get, like, the pants that I wear are they're a cooler rather than a Levi. They're a cargo pant that Harley sells. And so they whisk the heat away from you. And the long sleeves, they make these whisk shirts now. So it's, you know, wearing the leather is a little hot. But it's still, you know, it's your life. You have to make your decision what you want to do, what chance you want to take.
Yeah. To make a broad sweeping statement, young people seem to have a feeling of being bulletproof, especially. They don't seem to think they'll ever have a fatal accident. I know. I was a young person, and I'm sure I tested many limits. You've been that young rider, Mike. You started riding a long time ago, you said, when you were very young.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice would you like to give 20-somethings that are just now getting on motorcycles?
Well, just remember that you're not bulletproof when you get out there, because you might feel that you're the safe driver and that you can handle that bike in all situations, but there's going to be a situation come along that you're not going to be able to. And especially speed with the crotch rockets and stuff that are going 30, 40 miles over the speed limit, that somebody's going to pull out in front of them, or somebody's going to be distracted and hit them. And you do not have a cage around you. You're cageless. So you're going to either fly off that bike or something's going to happen that's not going to be pretty.
And there are not airbags
right.
involved. I don't think they've come up with that technology.
They've
just
got
yet.
It now.
They
yeah.
do?
They
have technology like that?
They have outfits now that are actually that you can buy that when an impact that it blows up.
Yeah. So you just go bouncing along the side of the road?
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see how that would work. I want to see the test films on that. Lieutenant Bueno, is there a breakdown between the style of motorcycles and the number of fatalities? Because we see these super fast, brightly colored bikes that whiz by on the highway, and they are doing some speed. They're going fast. Can it be generalized that these kinds of bikes are more commonly involved in those types of fatal accidents?
Well, first, I would like to touch on the last point real quick, if I may. Traffic crashes in general are the leading cause of death in teenagers. So, and even more so, you put a teenager or a young person onto a motorcycle that's high performance. Again, speed is a main contributing factor to traffic crashes. The faster you go, the less time you have to react. So, again, we encourage everyone to ensure that they have the accountability and responsibility anytime they're behind a wheel and realize that they are not invincible. In regards to types of motorcycles, there are certainly your different type of riders, or your riders that are out there for pleasure and, you know, just to enjoy the fact of riding a motorcycle. And then there are also riders out there that are out there treating it like a racetrack on our highways. And that is extremely dangerous. We constantly see motorcycles zipping in and out of traffic, doubling the speed limit, just very reckless and very careless. And the thing about it is they're not only endangering themselves, they're also endangering other motoring public as well.
How fast can those little bikes go?
I
guess they're not little. They're pretty big
and
powerful.
The big thing about them is their rapid acceleration. Their acceleration is extreme. And, you know, it's nothing for them to get in excess of 140, 150, 160 miles an hour in their travels. And, again, that type of speed is just a crash, a tragedy waiting to happen.
Well, I mean, if you hit anything, you're going to be flying for a lot further if you're going 140 miles per hour.
It's going
to
be unforgiving.
Yeah, and helmet or no helmet, that's flying. there are different kinds of bikes we were talking about, Mike. How does your group deal? You're with the Harley owners group, but there are different groups for different kinds of bike riders and different types of bikes, you said?
Well, there is sports bike groups. We are a Harley Davidson group, and we all ride Harley Davidson. So Harley Davidson really doesn't do what they call the crotch rockets or the fast bikes as much. I mean, they've got the bigger engines on, but they're more, our group does more for the cruising. We ride in groups. And, so we obey the speed limits. Before we do a ride, we have a road captain at the beginning at the lead, and we have a tail that rides with them. We don't exceed the speed limit. We obey all the laws. We ride with a spacing between the bikes. A lot of times, even though we can make a right-hand turn on red, we don't do it because getting 15 bikes around the corner before another car might turn off of another road and come toward us, so we don't get split up. So, and we give a talk right before the ride that explains all the rules. No alcohol, no drugs, and if you have, you're not on the ride.
You're not invited.
Yeah.
Does it feel safer to drive in a group like that?
Yeah, because the cars and the people pay more attention when you're, I mean, a lot of them don't because they aren't going to anyway, and they try to squeeze in. But you feel better when you have 2 to 10 bikes in a group so that you stick out more, especially when you're going down the road and somebody's going to make a turn out of a intersection.
And I'm sure there are many who just kind of, you know, gaze over and admire.
Yeah.
They're sitting there in their minivan. Oh. We're talking about motorcycles on Florida roads. What have you seen from your car? Or maybe you're a motorcyclist with a question. Give us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or you can message us on Facebook. We're WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Lieutenant Bueno, we were talking about younger people, and there's another age group that is easy to scapegoat, and that's the older Florida driver. The retirees, they may be in an RV, a Lincoln, or a big SUV. How do older drivers impact the safety on the roads?
Well, again, Florida is an epicenter for retirement. Mm-hmm. And again, though, the state of Florida does not discriminate for age as a factor in driving. But for an operator to safely drive their vehicle, they have to have adequate eyesight. They have to have the adequate ability to control that car. And again, though, if an older person's reactions aren't as quick or as agile as a younger person, all of us need to keep that in mind. Again, speed is a factor, distractions are factors, and we have to realize that there are pedestrians, bicyclists, motorcycles that we're sharing the road, and there also is an elderly contingent here in the state of Florida driving on the road as well.
And I wonder if when they test older drivers, how often do they have – do you know any – whether they have to be tested at certain ages or different – when they renew their licenses?
Yeah, there's different levels to the driver's license office. When they hit a certain age of like 80, that they have to have their license retested every so often. It's at a quicker pace than what we would normally in our age bracket. But again, it's there's certain safeguards that are built in as the a person gets up there in age. But again, it's age itself is not a factor as far as discrimination against whether or not you can drive your vehicle.
Yeah. Well, there's also legally you can't drive a motorcycle without getting a particular kind of license as well. What goes into that?
Right. You have to have an endorsement on your driver's license to operate a motorcycle in the state of Florida. And that's participating through a rider safety program to get that endorsement. And again, that's just for your safety as well so that we can help ensure that you have the adequate training to operate that motorcycle. And then gentlemen like Mike himself that go a step further in offering his services to the public to educate them as well is kudos to him for doing that.
Which makes sense because that's a large piece of machinery too.
Yes.
I don't ride a motorcycle because I can't do anything on two wheels. A regular bicycle is not a good idea for me. But tell me a little bit about riding a motorcycle. How heavy is one of these bikes, like a Harley? And how hard is it to maneuver one of these and to learn how to ride it well?
Your main cruising bike will weigh anywhere from 700 to 1,000 pounds, but they're well balanced, so it doesn't pay much to keep the balance. Once the balance goes off, it's going to go down. People can be taught how to pick the bike up, but sometimes you get into the bigger bikes, it's hard to pick them up. But they're well balanced. The smaller the bike, I mean, when you get into Sportsters and stuff, you're down to, you know, 400, 500, 600 pounds. So they're a lot lighter, a lot more maneuverability. But you can, I don't know if you've ever went to the any classes and watched them, especially like the Highway Patrol, the riders. They have groups there, and the Highway Patrol people, they can stop and sit on a bike, well-balanced, at a stoplight without even putting their feet down practically and make U-turns and circles. But that's taking advanced classes. We actually teach advanced classes for avoiding obstacles in the road, being able to make quick decisions, U-turns better, turns better. So it's all in the safety equipment you wear, the safety of the bike, making sure you have inflated tires, good tread, because especially on the roads down here. And we ride with in a staggered formation with a 1 second between the bike to your oblique and 2 seconds to the bike in front of you. So you're splitting the lane, which makes it a lot easier, more visibility for cars to see you.
So you said tread's a big deal?
Oh, yeah.
The tire tread?
Especially on the roads down here. I mean, when they get wet, and the oil that's on the road, the rubber that's on the road, and the shell that's in the asphalt, the roads are slippery on a bike. Yeah.
So that's something for people to pay attention to. Do you see a lot of retirees that move down into Florida that are in their 50s or 60s and they've been riding but they want to ride more? And are there tips that you need to give these people that come from a different state as far as dealing with Florida as a different type of an environment?
Well, I recommend getting into a group. We have a lot of groups down here from the Defenders, which are is a group, Bait. There's a Christian Riders group, our Hall group, which has 125 in it. And probably the average age is 65, 75 years old. So we have a lot of older riders. And a lot of them are going to trikes now. So if you don't feel you can hold a two-wheel bike up, you can ride a trike, which is a lot safer, where you don't have to worry about falling over at a light.
Especially if you have bad knees.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since 2000, it's been legal to ride a motorcycle in Florida without a helmet, provided that the driver is over the age of 21, like you mentioned, Lieutenant Bueno, and carries at least $10,000 in medical coverage on his or her insurance. So if someone is driving a car and they make an illegal move or they cut somebody off and they hit a motorcyclist and that motorcyclist dies as a result of that accident, but they may not have had they had a helmet on, does that change how a person is charged? Would they be more likely to be accused of involuntary vehicular manslaughter even if had that person been wearing a helmet, it could have been a different result.
Well, first of all, for a charge of manslaughter, there's going to be some sort of recklessness on the vehicles, perhaps. It's not a normal traffic violation type of crash to have that type of charge. However, if a vehicle is versus a motorcycle and a motorcyclist becomes injured, seriously injured, or dies, that motorist is at fault. The motorist is going to get a mandatory court appearance. The judge is going to impose the penalty on the driver. And he has certain levity or range that he can exercise his options with. Civilly, is a different game. That's something that we're not involved with. However, weighted value on who's at fault and what the injuries were as a result come into play with that.
Mm-hmm. Aside from motorcycles, Lieutenant Bueno, statistics show that here in Southwest Florida, we're actually seeing more fatalities in most places, with the notable exception of Collier, which for some reason went down in its number of fatalities in the last year. Do you have any idea why that is?
Well, first of all, we're glad to see any numbers go down when it's the fatalities. This year, we're over 3,000 already for the year, which is more than what we had last year. So it's very concerning to us. We had over 370,000 traffic crashes last year. So if you do the math, that's losing 8 lives per day statewide. And again, it's nothing that we can pinpoint to one county or another, because a lot of Lee population drives in Collier and vice versa. It's again, some years the numbers fluctuate back and forth, and what it comes down to is motorists being responsible for their actions behind a wheel, looking twice for motorcyclists, realizing that we do share the road out there and that we must educate ourselves so that we know what the laws are.
We do have more congestion. We have a lot more drivers on the road, and we have a lot more distracted driving on all parts. So those, I think, are big contributors, but it's just impossible to know exactly why these numbers go up or they go down.
Oh, it is. And anyone who drives on our roads in Florida, it is extremely busy out there. It's very congested. And it only takes one person, not playing by the rules or paying attention or doing what they're supposed to be doing, but driving distracted or speeding, and we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you said you were talking earlier about riding in groups, and I have to say it's pretty impressive, because those bikes are loud, which
yeah.
I remember years and years ago someone said, if you can't see me, at least you can hear me coming.
Yes.
Is that why they make them that loud?
Yeah.
So there's an image, though, of bikers, and it was one that was perpetuated years and years ago, but it still continues to persist. But there's also the reality of motorcycle groups. And I wanted to have you tell me a little bit more about what you do locally.
Well, our group, we do a bunny run at Easter time, where there's up to about 1,000 bikes. And we collect kids' toys for the hospital, the kids' hospital. We just did Bikers for Babies, which was in November around Thanksgiving, which is for birth defects, to get money for that. We just did a veterans ride where it was actually a escorted ride that we went to Punta Gorda to the veterans home and gave stockings with twirl trees and games and stuff like that for the veterans, and visited with them. We just did the ride where we take and go to different homes, and there was 5 different homes that we gave presents and food to families that were in need. So when we do these rides, there's a lot of people that line the roads that know the ride's going on and cheer us on and everything. And I think the bikers have become a lot better image because of all the charity work that we do.
Well, they're doing things to be proud of. That is definitely for sure. In parting, do you have any tips for drivers? You're out there and you see them all the time. What kind of tips would you like to offer?
Well, if you're in a vehicle, please don't text. Stay off the phone. It's a loaded, like having a loaded gun in your hand. I mean, you have a responsibility for the safety of everybody in your vehicle, of yourself, and the other people around you. So drive careful, obey the speed limits, obey the traffic signs, and pay attention when you come up to a stop sign or a stoplight and you make a right-hand turn. Make sure you stop first, look both ways. Don't just cruise through the thing and think that you have the right of way.
Yeah. Lieutenant Bueno, do you feel that, like, maybe visibility, sometimes people just don't see motorcycles?
Oh, absolutely. You know, motorcycles.
Because they're smaller.
Right. They're smaller. And sometimes being in that, it may be a little bit harder to judge their speed as well. That's why you need to look twice and make sure that you're not just carelessly doing a quick look to the left or the right. You have to look twice to make sure if you can see that motorcycle approaching. And again, to echo what Mike just said as well, so important to put your phones down, to drive distracted free. Cars wait. 3,000 pounds and they have the ability to hurt someone. It's not a victimless action.
And also those fast bikes, even though it can go 140, doesn't mean you should.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You gotta keep it in the ballpark. There's a speed limit for a reason, and we expect all motorists to abide by it.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you both coming in today. It was great talking with you and learning more about what contributes to some of this. And hopefully we gave some people some pointers and or places that they can check out with the Harley Owners Group and all the other different owners groups. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in just a little bit on Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn.